Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite lorecast on the Citadel.
Welcome to the Mass Effect Lorecast, the podcast where we explore the vast lore behind the Mass Effect games. Spectres, welcome back to the Mass Effect Lorecast. This is Tom. I'm here with Sam as usual. Sam, how's it going? It's been a little while.
It's going well. Yeah. I am in the festive mood. We just got a Christmas tree, my wife and I, and we have yet to decorate it, but it's a real tree. So the whole place smells like pine now.
Nice. It's we have a real tree up too, and it's all decorated and everything's all set up. It's the holiday season. Things have been busy. We've been busy with a lot of holiday stuff, work stuff. Things have been complex. You might have noticed we missed an episode last week, but we're back, and we are talking this week not about Rex, but about another corporation thing. And we're planning to go for another, 23 episodes on this? And then we'll get back to maybe characters.
Yeah, there's another 4 months of this arc of the Mass Effect Lorecast.
Somebody out there
before we get back to Rex.
Yeah, somebody out there did not pick up that was a joke. And no, we do not have 23 episodes of this next thing. This is just a one-off thing. We're going to be talking about Binary Helix, which might sound familiar, and getting into that. And we also have a big update. It's a big announcement. It's the end of the year. There's some other stuff going on and a big announcement at the end of the episode, so stay tuned for that. But before we get to any of that stuff, we have to talk about Binary Helix. We're talking about this other corporation, right?
Right. You know, we're not done with Rex yet, but we're also not done with the corporation episode. So today, we've got a topic that incorporates both of them nicely.
Nice. All right. So, okay. So where do we start with this specific corporation? Where do we go from here?
Right. Well, Rex doesn't work at Binary Helix. Let's get that out of the way first and foremost. Rex is not
a tie-in really to Rex. Right?
A tie-in? Yeah. Tie-in. He's not a suit and tie kind of Krogan.
Oh, God.
Rex is, you think any Krogan wear suit and ties? They don't strike me as business or even business casual.
They're kind of always in that battle armor, or the flowy robe kind of thing.
You know what?
Yeah.
They would be that guy that's always wearing Carhartt jackets.
Okay.
I'm just thinking about modern civilian, what counts as battle armor? Yeah. Carhartt jackets, outdoorsy gear.
Not
hipster hiking level, but like I might be a survivalist mountain man.
This stuff isn't designed to look like I spend time in the mountains. It's actually designed to spend time in the mountains, like that kind of stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. So right. No TPS reports from Rex, no printer issues, no passive aggressive post-its in the break room, and no long cocktail filled Don Draper lunches. We are talking about a corporation that I'm sure every Mass Effect player recognizes the name, Binary Helix. So they describe themselves as a genetic engineering and biotechnology firm.
Okay.
Right? Sounds simple enough, mm-hmm. but in my opinion, that's like calling Dracula a phlebotomist.
Okay.
Doesn't really tell the full story. Technically correct. Does draw blood.
Right. Okay. Yes. Mm.
And they have their hands in stuff.
Dracula does start with DR, so it's Dr. Acula.
Dr. Acula?
Yeah.
The phlebotomist?
Right. He's got a PhD.
There we go.
He's got a PhD.
If anyone is in the medical field and actually is a phlebotomist and listens to this show, maybe next Halloween you can wear a name tag that says, "Hi, I'm Dr. Acula."
I'm Dr. Acula.
That'd be pretty funny. Yeah,
that was actually a Mitch Hedberg joke. I don't know if you even know who Mitch Hedberg was.
I don't.
He's passed on, a wonderful comedian, and type of comedian who would just kind of not always say a joke with like a story, but just sometimes would just say the punchline. he was awesome. He was very, very funny. But anyway, yeah, Dr. Acula is one of the punchlines. Anyway, go. So, all right. So we're already off topic. Tell me more about this corporation.
Right. Well, the reason why I said that I think every Mass Effect player will probably find their name familiar is because they're introduced to us so early. You know, in Mass Effect 1, we have Novaria, and that's where we learn that Binary Helix runs those hot labs on Peak 15. We go to, and where we find that they're experimenting on the Rachni, and spoiler loose, the crazy alien insectoids got loose, and oh my god, they're killing people, including that one Russian guy.
Right.
I feel so bad for him. Everybody loved him. So, you know, they're very, very early on. But when you really look into more of what was going on at those hot labs, you find something else that's pretty interesting to me. So apparently Binary Helix was also developing a poison named Thoros B. And if that sounds familiar, Thoros B, it's probably an allusion to the Thorian. Let me also tell you that it was based what the lead scientist calls an exotic life form discovered on the frontier.
Okay.
The Thorian.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we learn that Binary Helix actually wanted something to kill that alien, the Thorian. But then they realized, hey, you know what? There's much more money in something that is widely applicable, not so specialized that it will only kill the Thorian.
Mm.
Not much money in that, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
Just use it once and now you can't sell it. So they instructed that scientist who was making the poison to broaden the poison so that it can kill other species.
Yeah, so why just wipe out one species when you can wipe out multiple species across the galaxy?
And wouldn't you know, some of the team working on that got sick from the biotoxin.
Imagine that. Huh. Weird. Corporations making decisions that seem terrible and also cost people their lives. That doesn't sound reasonable to me.
I mean, risk assessment, right? They saw something that their investors would have approved from this project gone according to plan. But unfortunately, in venture capitalism, I'm just using buzzwords at this point, things don't always go according to plan, and that's what risk is about. You shareholders pay us.
Yeah, maximize profits. Sometimes you got to take risks. Sometimes you have to deny coverage for people with previous medical conditions.
And honestly, you know, if we weren't taking those risks, I think that you all should be disappointed in us.
Right.
Those risks.
Because everybody knows that all the money that goes into the wealthy's pockets trickles down to the rest of us.
When the job creators do well, we all do well.
We all do well.
I'm physically ill. better submit a claim.
don't do that. You're just going to deny it anyway.
But anyway, you know, we also learned from a representative from the Armali Council that Binary Helix is studying biotics. Now, this was a little odd to me because even though they're a genetic engineering firm, that they're studying biotics is kind of weird because we don't see their name attached to any biotic amps in the items in the inventory and stuff.
Right.
And they offer military and governments, apparently, this genetic engineering package for recruits. They don't offer recruits packages. That's illegal.
Okay.
But they offer this, like, all-encompassing, like, better hearing, better eyesight, you'll be faster, stronger, better than you were before. You know, that kind of thing. Mm. Here's a bit of this mission where we learn this, where we talk with the sales rep from Binary Helix. His name's Raphael Vargas.
First, the boilerplate disclaimer. No genetic enhancement is guaranteed to take. You can maximize the odds, but every strand of DNA is unique. Our patented techniques can provide an 8% improvement in adrenal response, 12% faster clotting, and a measurable decrease in CG muscle degeneracy.
I've never heard of a technique that improves zero-gravity endurance.
It's a first for the industry. The advent of Element Zero-based artificial gravity made it a less pressing concern. We're still waiting for tests to give us an average improvement. estimate a 7 to 11% decrease in muscle loss rates. I can get you those improvements for 30K credits per head. For a bulk order, I can work in a sensory enhancement package. Guaranteed 20/15 vision and hearing from 12 to 22,000 hertz.
How would you distribute the upgrades? Retroviral injections would take some time.
Well, it does take time to upgrade a body with adjusted DNA. Skin cells could be replaced in 2 weeks, but the liver takes over a year, the skeleton a decade. For frontline units, we can speed the process with full system transfusions and injections to stimulate regrowth. It would still take 6 months to see results.
I think this is one of the sales guys I used to work with.
He's, you know what? He's more knowledgeable about the product, though, yeah, than a lot of salespeople are.
That's true. I did work with some very good salespeople who were very knowledgeable about the product, but the pacing, the way that this is, like, whoever wrote this dialogue worked in or around or with salespeople at some point in their life, because I used to go on visits with the salespeople to meet with, like, the CEOs of companies to solve their problems and things like this. This is exactly the way that banter goes.
What if they just literally brought in someone from the sales team? And they're, yeah, like, okay, listen to, right, this conversation that the writers are going to have, and how would you tweak this?
Right, right. Even down to the little detail of, like, it always struck me as odd that the sales guy is saying, and if you do this, I can do this for you. And it's like, the company can do that for you. You aren't making that decision, right? Like, the reason I, as the salesperson, give you a 5% decrease if you do this thing isn't because you made that. Like, you're taking... That doesn't make sense to me. Does that, you get what I'm saying? Like, the ownership, yeah, of that decision is the company's. That's what the marketing team decided that you were going to be able to do. It's not up to you as an individual, but it plays better in conversation to sound like the sales guy has power to make the deal, right? Like, that kind of jargon, right, just drives me off the wall, because I'm like, there's these little white lies in every little sentence, and it's just like,
it's, oh, duplicitous. Yeah, it's, yeah, you know, I love you so much as a customer, I'm gonna cut you a special deal that no one else gets except for everyone else I'm gonna talk to today.
Right, right. And the way they phrase it that way is because that's what they were told to do, but they didn't, they had nothing to do with that decision other than just being able to offer it to the customer. It's just, anyway, right, sidetracks, right. But yeah, there's some interesting stuff here about, like, what they are actually capable of doing,
and this is, like, one of the only sources in the lore where we can hear these details, basically, that it is apparently possible, and not just possible, but practiced, that militaries and governments are using this system, where I can really only equivocate it to what I've seen from, like, how Spartans are made in Halo.
Okay.
You know what, yeah, I mean?
Okay.
And apparently, like, that's something that happens on a scale that would warrant industrial involvement.
Yeah, no, that makes, I mean, it's the military industrial complex expanded out into the future, having to deal with facing alien races that might be stronger, bigger, more technologically advanced. And so it makes sense they're going to want to amp up their soldiers as best they possibly can.
Yeah, maybe that's what happened with Giga Chad Salarian, if you remember him. Right. Stonejaw McCallahan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That guy's been sucking on the biotic juice or something.
he's been all over Binary Helix. Yeah. No, I think he was actually a different subrace of the Salarians, but that's a topic for another day. You know, I was interested that they can improve a ton of things about the human body, but the really interesting thing to me was that the writers stayed within believable boundaries, because they could, mm-hmm, have made it, like, so awesome, oh, yeah, maximum, you know?
Right,
like,
300 times stronger, be able to lift boulders over your head, and it's like,
right, yeah, we use the DNA of an ant to, right, make sure that you can lift 500 times your own body weight.
Right, right, yeah. Like, yeah.
But they didn't, you know, like, 8% adrenal response, I think he said, only improving vision to 2015, whereas perfect vision, 2020, mm-hmm, and hearing was improved. I looked up the margins, it was basically the same. Same degree, the hearing, right, was improved.
These are relatively small margins that, again, I'm not a doctor, you guys know who we are, but it seems like if you take the human population, there will be some people at the very edge of the bell curve who might, like, there are people with 2015 vision, like, that does happen naturally sometimes, but not to most of us. Like, this all feels within the realm of possibility.
Right. It basically feels like taking someone at the back end of a bell curve and putting them at the front.
Right.
That's
right. Right. You're not making somebody not human. You're just optimizing them for what human potential can already reach.
Right. And he also, you know, Vargas also tells us that basically that all of these projects that they do are above board, which would implicate that they're all kind of adhering to those Citadel conventions we talked about way back when it came to genetic engineering.
Mm-hmm. You think the FDA has signed off on this?
I don't know. I feel like a lot of the stuff they do doesn't have to be approved by the Alliance. And maybe even some of it isn't approved by the Citadel Council, which is funny because Vargas tells Shepard that not all projects on Novaria are strictly legal. Mm-hmm. And then when Shepard asks for clarification, Vargas says that Binary Helix doesn't commit espionage on its competitors because that would be illegal.
Right. Very, like, directly pointing at the fact that that's the illegal thing that he was mentioning is actually happening. But no, it's not happening. Plausible deniability. Sure.
I think it could also be, it could be him basically saying that to Shepard. But I think he could also be tipping Shepard off that he knows what Shepard is doing. Because in this context, Shepard is committing corporate espionage for the Armali Council.
Yeah. Okay.
He's getting this sales rep with Binary Helix to disclose trade secrets and just get him talking long enough to get his voice on like some kind of device.
Right.
That's what's happening.
Right. Right. So, yeah, it's kind of layered. That's cool. OK, so but there's more here, though, right? Like you mentioned that Binary Helix has a sketchy path beyond just, you know, corporate espionage or whatever. And not just working on genetic engineering. Is there other stuff?
Yeah, you know, besides trying to grow Arachni army at Benezia and Saren's command, and then trying to make a new biotoxin for warfare based off of a sentient mega being, besides all that, they've also got shady business dealings, too. So unethical business sides, not just like mad scientist sides. Here's a little bit from a Mass Effect 1 elevator news segment that a lot of us may have glossed over. Maybe you just didn't pay attention. Maybe you never heard it. But I think this has profound implications for Binary Helix, and we'll talk about it afterward.
Binary Helix has settled out of court with a Krogan group that had accused the Genetics Corporation of fraud. The Krogan group had contracted Binary Helix to perform studies with a long-range goal of curing their genetic sterilization. The group later sued for a return of investment money when the study produced no viable results.
Oh, that's interesting. That's interesting. It makes sense that they'd be reaching out to anybody who might have the means to help them out.
Right. Yeah. I mean, why not? Because Rex tells us that there are really no Krogan scientists.
Yeah.
And if they have money, whether it be, you know, legitimately earned money or ill-gotten gains, even maybe from, you know, Krogan mercenaries or pirates or whatever.
Sure.
I would think that would be a priority for developing or diverting the money towards. So, but then, you know, Binary Helix just says, sorry, we didn't get anywhere. And we're just going to keep the money. So then the Krogan group sues them and says, there was no return on our investment whatsoever.
Right. You
so
just stole give our us money. The money back. So give us the money back. Also, we're a bunch of Krogan and we're angry. Don't mess with us.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but it didn't actually say in that news report where that litigation went.
No.
You know, you can sue someone and it doesn't mean that you won. It just means that you filed a lawsuit against them. That's all that means. So, I know you know that. I'm just talking to our listeners.
And establishing it. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And so, in my opinion, this proves also that Binary Helix was, quote unquote, working on a cure for the genophage. But what happened with that work? And imagine me as Giorgio from Ancient Aliens right now with the crazy hair and also that Tom is wearing a Fallout shirt referencing him as well.
Yes. Because drones.
Now, what happened with that work? We are told that through that in-world news segment, we're told that Binary Helix never actually made significant headway. However, I want us to consider one thing. What if Binary Helix did find a quote-unquote cure, but they lied to that Krogan group, telling them, sorry, you know, no luck?
Yeah, no, it totally makes sense that they could then use that as a bargaining chip to get somebody else to give them more money not to disclose the cure. And so
exactly
like that sounds like they're now making money on both sides and they're just playing everybody against each other.
Exactly. And that's exactly what I wanted to talk about, that there is more money in then trying to extort the Salarians, Turians, and Asari into destroying the cure that they have synthesized. There's much more money in keeping the cure for themselves and deciding what to do later.
Right. Right. Yeah. Oh, man. I don't know that I would want like those three groups as like a pissed off enemy, though. You know,
well, you know, but at this point, we've already learned what corporations are kind of capable of with Garvug.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, granted, that happens in 2185. So that's a little bit after when this happens, because we're hearing the news segment about it in Mass Effect 1, which means it happened before Garvug, the war on Garvug anyway. However, how much is corporate corporate galactic affairs going to change in 2 years? So my thought process is maybe they are so confident that they can just keep the cure and everything about it isolated to the Terminus system somewhere, not have to worry about the Citadel Council races getting mad at them. Here's another thought. Maybe some of their key investors did not want the company to relinquish the results. You know, if anyone's like screaming at their radio right now, oh my God, mention it. Who's key investors of Binary Helix? Saren and Benezia. Inception, yeah. Foghorn.
Yep. Yeah, no, that's very reasonable too. It also could be the kind of thing that, you know, they started as a project, but then once certain people got, you know, word of it, that it was out, it's actually, oh, they'll never develop a cure, just take their money and do it. Oh wait, we're actually close to actually having a cure here. Okay, we need to clamp down on this.
Right. Oh yeah. Sorry, we didn't find a cure. Oh my God, that's crazy. Anyway, get lost. Right.
Yeah, things were going well, but it's too hard, it's difficult. Oh well.
Right. So this Krogan sponsored research, this happens before Vermeier. And that is where Binary Helix's key investors are later found to be running a Krogan cloning facility. That facility using what appears to be a cure, quote unquote, for the genophage. And then the investors running that facility are, of course, doing so under Saren's command, who we also know had enough pull within the company to orchestrate things on Novaria through Benezia at the Binary Helix Peak 15 facility. And so we already know also from the Thoros B, that toxin that I mentioned, that Binary Helix is primarily profit motivated. They're not just some nonprofit genetic engineering firm. They are profit motivated.
Yes.
My thought process is this company totally fucking found a cure before and told the Krogan sponsors to go take a hike. And yes, right. This Binary Helix story may be the origins of Saren's cloning facility.
I mean, that's a lot of just coincidental stuff. It could just be a coincidence. I mean,
right.
It's funny. Yeah, if ever you have doubts about, like, okay, all of these things seem to line up, just say that statement. Yeah, but these five things could all just be coincidental, and see how silly that sounds, and then be like, okay, maybe it's not. Yeah, it's probably
no,
not.
Right. Yeah. Maybe there's something a little bit more to it. Yeah. I think that the writers were just kind of giving us some breadcrumbs to try and lead us to this conclusion. A lot more interesting than just spelling it out.
Right.
But and maybe to some listeners, this is like far more obvious than I took the time putting on my tinfoil hat to make it. But it was when I'm basically walking people through my thought process, because I finally connected the dots while I was putting together the notes and the research.
Yeah, this works in a few different ways. One, you drop in certain names. Oh, Binary Helix, that sounds familiar. Like, and oftentimes when you play through a game like the first time, you're not picking up on all these little subtle side things. It's like watching a really complex movie for the first time. You get the big arc, right? You get the big story, the big plot stuff. But then you go, oh, yeah, that name for that company is pretty familiar. Oh, yeah, the genophage, that was a thing. Okay, yeah, okay, Saren might have something to do with this. But you don't really piece it all together until you go back and you go, and you actually pay attention. And you go, wait a minute, these breadcrumbs were here. I noticed that they were dropping these breadcrumbs, but now I've figured out that, like, oh, they all connect.
Oh, yeah. And so you can see why I said it's kind of related to Rex, because on Vermeier, we have that confrontation with Rex over the cloning facility. Mm-hmm. had Rex known that there is a possibility that Binary Helix previously actually found a cure for the genophage, and that was because a Krogan group gave them the seed money,
he
would be livid.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, yes, that would play out very differently.
Yeah. And it's also, you know, at the same time, it's also just looking like Binary Helix is possibly Saren's shell company.
Yeah, it seems like there is a lot more going on there as well. I have to wonder how much of what they are researching is specifically at the mandate of Saren, saying, okay, like, not maybe not even just the genophage, but like this and this and this and this. These are all things that I need you to research because I'm going to find a way to use them.
I mean, yeah, and I think the company, it seems like, I haven't found confirmation, but it seems like the company has a longer history than Saren's involvement with them. So who knows? But as a Spectre, he may have basically just usurped the company's board.
Right. Or found a way to buy into a major, you know, percentage of the, you know, the company's shares or whatever. I don't know. I'm sure there's other details here underneath it that we just can't see. But you become a majority shareholder because you are a Spectre and you got some money illegally by like doing something crazy that Spectres can do. And then all of a sudden now you have control over this large corporation. I'm not saying that's exactly what happened, but I wouldn't put it past a guy like that.
Definitely not. No, I mean, he's going to use whatever means he possibly can to reach the ends that he deems as necessary. And that seemed to be who he was before he was indoctrinated.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know,
go back and listen to those episodes. Yes, absolutely. All right. Well, we got the mid break coming up here and we've got a planet card and some new patrons to welcome and all that stuff. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. But then we've got more about Binary Helix. Here we go.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Message coming in. Patching it through.
I am sovereign, and this
Lorecast
is mine. I like the sound of that.
All right, here we are in the middle of the show. We've got a new patron, Bearzable, or Pearzable. I messed that up. Pears, P-E-A-R.
Bearzable.
Not Bearzable. Pearzable. Thank you for joining us. You get your shout out. Also, our Shepherd tier patrons get their shout outs. Edboy, Kirisi, Lieutenant Cicino, Retrobot, Superfly, and William, thank you so much for your support. And to all 70 of our current patrons, thank you so much. If you would like to help out this show, make sure things keep going, all of that stuff, and get some really cool things, patreon.com/MassEffectLorecast. That's the place to go do it. Also, we've got a new review that came in. And by the way, the program I was using, the online app, in order to consolidate all the reviews has now shut down, and I haven't found a good other service for this. And the main problem with that is that I can go to Apple Podcasts and go, oh, somebody left us this review, but it's stuck to my specific region and there's no convenient way for me to go through every single region or country in the world in order to pull all of those other reviews together. So for a little while, at least, these will only be from the US, but please do not let that keep you from leaving a review if you live somewhere outside of the US. But we do have this one from Jellyfish, who wrote 5 stars. Don't be a big, stupid jellyfish and listen to the best podcast on the Citadel. Oh, and they're from Misfit. 993 is the name. Jellyfish was the title. I'm not used to looking at it in this format. But thank you, Misfit. Appreciate that. I didn't know maybe your name was also Jellyfish. That makes more sense like this, though. But yeah, so do that in the future. We'll read it out on a future episode of the show. You can also share it with your friends. You can even comment on Spotify if you listen on Spotify. Also, a few other things are going on. You can gift Patreon subscriptions now. So if you have somebody or you would like somebody to gift it to you, you can do that. Perfect for the holidays. And you can also leave comments. This is a very, like, it's now across the board thing on Spotify. That's a thing. And then also, if you are somebody who's on the Patreon and you're getting ad-free episodes, the Patreon feed for that is now up on Spotify. So you can, if you were used to listening to it on Spotify and then you become a Patreon, you'll get a link and then you can go to that RSS no ad feed on Spotify. So lots of cool stuff. But that's what we got for all that stuff. And now we've got a planet card. Where are we going with our planet card, Sam?
Now we are talking about the Rachni homeworld Suin. It's tidally locked to the system's red dwarf, with one side constantly bombarded by the sun and the other completely frozen. Life evolved in the Terminator, the perpetual twilight zone between Suin's two extremes. So bipolar planet.
Wow.
No pun intended.
Yeah.
This
is a cool idea.
The Rachni mainly foraged underground. Suin's abundant subterranean rivers presented them with a place to thrive. Wrestling with the engineering problems of Suin's extreme surface environment may have given the Rachni their first insights into how to build interstellar spacecraft. Suin was the site of the last battle in the Rachni Wars when Krogan forces bombarded the planet. The Rachni abandoned their surface buildings for the security of their tunnels. The Krogan, resistant to Suin's toxic atmosphere, carried weapons of mass destruction into the secret chambers of the Rachni Queens, and detonated explosions so powerful the sinkholes are still visible today.
Nice. I love this idea of a tidally locked planet or world. This was a concept I remember years ago. My daughter's an adult now. She's grown up. But I remember having conversations with when she was like in science class about this stuff, and she was kind of interested at the time getting into writing, and I was like, that would be a really cool setting for like a sci-fi novel, like a civilization that is in a tidally locked planet, and the one place they can live is like this area where it's constantly twilight, because that's the one place, the band on the planet, where the temperature is actually stable otherwise, or at least livable other than like extreme heat and extreme cold. And then like one day creatures come out of like one of the other zones and they're like, what? You know, like, what is going on?
Would one side just be this like frozen tundra and the other would be a desert? And then right in the middle, you'd have a lush, green, verdant twilight zone.
Right. It would just be this right strip that goes north to south across the planet. That's just like only, I don't know, a few kilometers wide. But that's where civilization and life flourishes, is along this really skinny strip.
I would suppose that rivers would have to run from the nighttime side to the daytime side.
Yeah, if there's any melting at all that allows the water to flow. That's interesting. Right. Yeah, I'm sure there'd be all sorts, if you spend some time really thinking about this. But if any of you are writers out there, this is a really cool concept. I'm sure there's a lot of really cool details you could work into this kind of setting. But that's cool. I did not realize they came from a planet like that.
Yeah, they're a very cool home planet. And look, Krogan get a shout out in that planet card as well.
There you go. That's our planet card. All right, let's move on with the rest of the show. Here we go.
Spit it out, or are you trying to build suspense?
You're so dense, sir. Obviously, I do not know as much about human relationships as I thought.
All right, so we've been talking about binary helix and a lot of the stuff from like Mass Effect 1 and early on. What do we learn about them after Mass Effect 1?
So after the whole Noveria Peak 15 incident, word gets out, the stock tumbles, and then we ultimately, like we as the players, we kill off their two biggest investors anyway. Right. So Sarah and Venezia gone, and that's pretty much that. But we do continue to learn about Binary Helix into 2185 during Mass Effect 2 because of Cerberus Daily News articles. They cite them in a storyline. It's a short storyline that we can go over right now, actually. It turns out that Binary Helix has been continuing their work after the events of Mass Effect 1, and there are some key developments happening in our very own home solar system.
Mm. Okay.
So you want to go ahead and read the first article we have here?
Yeah. Okay. So it says, the Sol system is abuzz after a Binary Helix research outpost found life on Jupiter's moon of Europa. Scientists on the Nautilus, on the Nautilus facility, I almost said in once I, never mind, a station built underneath Europa's vast ice sheets, discovered microorganisms inside a rock sample taken from the moon's ocean floor. Life is tenacious, says head researcher Dr. Zuzagul. Scientists have theorized for decades that Europa could sustain an underwater ecology. It's incredible to be at the vindication of some of the field's earliest xenobiological hopes. Xenobiological, I said that correctly, right? Dr. Gall hoped to find even more sophisticated life as her team sends more probes to explore the site where the microorganisms were found.
I love the Jurassic Park reference there. Life
life finds a way. Life is tenacious. It's basically the same thing, right?
Yeah. So, so pretty cool. Like, it kind of turns out that everyone who had speculated that there actually is alien life in our solar system, mm-hmm. they were right, yeah. and they were microorganisms.
Yeah, this is one of the most common current thoughts about if there are other living things in our solar system, where are they most likely to be? Probably in oceans. Where are there other oceans? Well, underneath ice on certain moons and other locations in the solar system. So, yeah, that could make sense. I mean, there could be even bigger things under there. Like, we don't really know.
Yeah, maybe there's a Kraken. Maybe there's like a Giga Kraken.
Yeah, yeah. Or just a really big whale. That's not as exciting.
Survives on microorganisms.
Yeah, it's like, you know, this has the sift mouth where it just like goes around and eats all the...
Well, actually, if it were... What's the gravity of Europa? Because it's within Jupiter's realm, so I would think it's pretty high.
Well, no, because it's far enough away from Jupiter. It's like the gravity on the moon isn't influenced too much by Earth, because it's distant enough. Gravity increases, what's the word for like the hockey stick?
Oh, it's actually incredibly low.
Yeah, it's pretty
small.
I just
looked it up.
Yeah.
It's 0.134 of what Earth's gravity is.
Right. Yeah, it's not a very large... It's not as
so,
big as Earth, right?
Or I'm thinking those hypothetical whales we are talking about would be massive.
Right. They'd be giant creatures floating around in the water. Yeah.
Quite long. Right. Actually, they're not long horizontally. They're long vertically.
they're vertical
just
whales.
Swim like that. They're there you go.
Okay. All right. And is it water that's down there on Europa? I don't remember. One of these moons might have water, but another one it has some other liquid that also...
Titan, I think you're thinking of, right?
Maybe,
yes,
yeah.
I think you're thinking of Titan. There's a terrible sci-fi movie off of this, and it's a guy that's basically genetically engineered, to go and swim underneath the surface of Titan.
Weird.
And it's what is it made out of? It's like sulfur or something.
Maybe
I don't know. It's bad.
Methane,
it's bad.
Or something. Yeah, like it's some liquid methane. I don't know. It's something. It's been a while since I've even thought about any of this.
Right. It would kill you. It's pretty interesting that like after this bad news with Binary Helix that they've actually made this kind of like impressive technological discovery in Earth's home solar system. So, I don't know. I think it's kind of interesting. However, if you want to be cynical about it, this is further evidence that Earth and humans have increasingly privatized the space-based research endeavors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Yes.
Like, shouldn't this be, you know, like a joint effort through humanity's joint government/military alliance?
Yeah. No, it plays into that same cyberpunk thing where like corporations become more and more powerful as time moves on, which seems accurate.
Wonder where they got the inspiration. On the plus side, if you're working for Binary Helix, this is just great PR for you after Novaria, right? I mean, if you're working PR for Binary Helix, you narrowly escaped the clusterfuck of being publicly tied to the Vermeier facility, if that was Binary Helix's research.
Yeah.
And that could have meant nightmares for your lawsuit against the Krogan Group.
Right.
That would have been like total culpability. You owe all of your money to them. So you escaped that. And then your scientists discover that, oh, by the way, there have been microorganisms within our home solar system for who knows how long.
This whole time.
I mean, that's great. Yeah. Great PR for you.
Right. Okay. So what happens after they find these microorganisms?
Well, it doesn't, you know, the peace doesn't last long, as we learn from the Catalyst.
So we get like another corporate war. Is this where this is going?
It's well, not quite. It's not the same because the Krogan aren't involved. In fact, they can't bully someone around the same way. Here's the next article from Cerberus Daily News. The system's alliance is clashing with Binary Helix over which group has first rights to the genetic material of newly discovered organisms, microorganisms, on Jupiter's moon of Europa. Quote, Europa is alliance territory, says Commander Lowry, head of intrasolar development. Quote, we gave Binary Helix permission to build a facility, not patents to Sol system life, end quote. Binary Helix spokesperson Jamie Cho replied, quote, "The contracts signed by the Alliance were very clear. Binary Helix has first claim to any new biological life forms created, modified, or discovered on Europa. Since legal precedence is in our favor, the Alliance is trying to split hairs."
That seems pretty clear. Like,
it does.
You gave us rights to the first life forms that are found here. We found them. They're ours, right?
Assuming that Binary Helix is not just straight out lying. Yes.
Yeah.
They could be straight up lying or misinterpreting, you know, contractual language. Oh, God, I wish we had a contract lawyer on the show right now, because that, if you want to get into like an actually kind of mindset, contract law. However, regardless of which side is right, I find it interesting because this is really a manifestation of a power struggle. Private corporations trying to throw around their weight over top of a unified government of humanity.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's the same story just over and over and over again, and just in different ways, you know?
Right. Right. And, you know, if you're thinking, why is this a problem? The simple answer is accountability. In a democracy, the government is accountable to its voters. And in a corporation, the only people that the board and the CEO are accountable to are the investors. And the investors aren't subject to the policies of the corporation the same way its employees are.
Right. The investors have a single goal, and it's to make as much profit as possible, where the citizens of a nation have many goals, like their own livelihood, the ability to raise their children, the ability to make their choices and have freedoms and
technological advancement
and healthcare and all sorts of things. Right. And so therefore, it's going to be a mixed bag of things that averages out across the entire population, whereas a corporation just needs to make profit. That's it.
Right. And, you know, investors can vote with their money. You know, if a corporation makes decisions that they don't like, they can always sell off all their stocks. However, most investors aren't going to care about whether or not a corporation has cut your lunch break in half.
Right. Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Or if some of them do, that doesn't mean somebody else isn't just going to buy into it and go, oh, well, but you're making more profit this year, so I'm going to buy it because I want more profit, without even considering how they did it or caring about that. Right.
Correct. And the point is, maybe the investor would think differently if it was the investor's lunch break that was cut in half.
Sure. But, right.
You know,
right.
So it's different, and it's about accountability. And if you really want to view it through as simple a lens of human nature as possible, this alliance fighting with Binary Helix over the microorganisms, it's just two kids fighting over the new toy in the sandbox.
Right. Okay, so how does this shake out? Like, who actually gets the rights to the life on the planet? Or the moon? It's a moon, technically.
Well, there's this small hiccup, this thing, and the facility blows up.
Okay, all right.
Weird. Weird. All right. Here's the very next entry in this storyline from Cerberus Daily News. You want to read this one?
Yeah, it says, System Alliance rescue workers rushed to save Binary Helix employees trapped in a flooding underwater research facility on Europa today. A distress signal sent from the Nautilus facility 8 hours ago reported a breached outer wall and malfunctioning escape pods. Alliance Commander Lowry hinted that sabotage may be to blame. It doesn't look like an accident. Unfortunately, water destroyed the security systems along with most of the facility's computers. Given the conditions, I'd like to congratulate our med teams for rescuing everyone in the Nautilus station before it was completely flooded. Over protests from Binary Helix, the Alliance is confiscating data from the station, quote, in the event that anything or anyone inside the Nautilus facility is responsible for this disaster. Like, hey, it's a terrible thing, but we had a good response.
You know, we just really have to spend 30 minutes thanking all of the responders that came here. Sorry, we don't have any time for questions. That's all press.
Right.
Goodbye.
Right. We don't need to talk about what happened or why, but we had a great response and lives were saved.
That's the important part. We here at Binary Helix, we value life. And that's why we're so happy to report that those employees who are on the station are now back home with their families.
The ones that survived.
There were some unfortunate losses. Right. Yes.
Right. And the response was immediate. It only took 8 hours.
Yeah, right. The interesting thing here is that the Systems Alliance is coming out right away and saying it doesn't look like an accident. Now,
yeah.
Who would have done this? Saren's dead. Benezi is dead.
Yeah, right.
They clearly didn't do this.
Some angry Krogan.
I don't know. Maybe there is a Kraken.
They discovered the Kraken under the water and it blew up the facility. They pissed it off.
They very clearly, like, you know, say it's sabotage. Maybe someone from inside Binary Helix. Maybe they weren't all that altruistic. Maybe they wanted to keep the data for themselves. I don't know.
I think the Beastie Boys probably know. Because listen, all y'all, it's sabotage.
I wish we could play that. That song is a great song.
I can't stand it. I know I'm playing it.
Okay, there we go.
Fun fact for anyone that's playing through a playthrough of Mass Effect 2 right now, play that song right when you get to the end of Garrus's mission with Harkin.
Oh, yeah? Does it line up?
With the end of the mission with Harkin, where you get to Harkin, so not the very end of it, but once you get to the shipping containers... I think people know what I'm talking about. You get to the shipping containers, you climb up them, and then you go into the room, the control room where Harkin is. Right as you get to those shipping containers, hit play. Right at like right before the beginning of that cutscene, you will thank me later. But anyway, yeah, this Nautilus facility just suddenly blowing up kind of reeks of Cerberus interference, doesn't it?
Yeah. So I guess that's the question then. Do you think this is Cerberus? Is there any evidence for that?
There is no confirmation. However, have you ever seen the logo for Binary Helix?
Oh yeah, this is cool. Here, I'm going to put this up on the screen. Check it out. This first logo, this is Binary Helix, right? It looks like a yellow C, and then mirrored to another yellow C, kind of.
It looks very similar to the Cerberus logo.
Right, here's the Cerberus logo. You see, it's almost like the two yellow sides of the Cerberus logo just got completed across the top, and then they took the middle part out.
Yeah, it kind of feels like a serial killer leaving their calling card behind, you know?
Yeah. It's almost even the same exact color yellow.
I know. It's clearly not a coincidence. Now, if anyone is watching this video and they're thinking, well, I never saw that logo in Mass Effect 1, you shouldn't have, because it was just buried in game files, but not actually used, I think. Mm. And the only other place I saw it was the Art of Mass Effect book,
right,
which contains all of the, you know, art and the concepts. So kind of weird. And we do know that Cerberus had these shell companies, right? Even weirder coincidence when you consider that Binary Helix somehow obtained and experimented on a Rachni egg because Benezia was planning to build an army for Saren in Mass Effect 1.
Mm-hmm.
And then also in Mass Effect 1, we find that Cerberus Black Sites on Uncharted Worlds somehow had also acquired Rachni and were experimenting on them.
Huh. Another, I don't know. I mean, all of this entire episode just sounds like a lot of coincidence.
Cerberus would have a very similar logo to a potential shell company that was already working with Saren. Although, at the same time, I can't see the elusive man wanting to work with Saren after what happened to them.
Yeah, yeah, but like you stated earlier, Saren's involvement may have happened later. Like, the elusive man may have just had interest in what Binary Helix was doing, or even just capable of doing, or may have been a founding, like, influence on the company early on.
Yeah, and maybe no one truly knows if the elusive man is behind Binary Helix. Perhaps no one truly knows, because that would be, you know, a liability.
Right, right. Yeah, he would probably set that up through some side effort, some shell company or something, you know. Yeah, there's a lot of ways that he could have stayed out of the spotlight and been able to do that, which makes you wonder how many other things, you know. I mean, I think that's just kind of one of the themes. It's like, what is Cerberus's actual reach? And that's one of those kind of persistent questions of like, are they part of this too?
I'll tell you what, the truth is out there.
The truth is out there. Is this now the X-Files? Yeah. All right. I guess that wraps it up for this episode about Binary Helix. Anything else?
Yes. You know, we're going to be going back to Rex next week.
Well, next week is the holiday episode.
I'm sorry. Yes.
Yeah. So it is coming up. So next week's the holiday. We did you were originally going to make it. Then something came up. You couldn't make it. But it was me and a number of the other hosts on the network talking about our favorite things for the year. It's something we've been doing for a while, getting a bunch of Robots Radio hosts together, talk about some of our favorite stuff. So that's coming up next week, which is kind of a nice change, especially if you are like driving for the holiday and want to listen to people talk about the things they love and things that you might want to check out while you're on vacation or something like that. So that's coming up next week. And then 2 weeks from now is the patron chat. And then after that would be following back up with Rex, right?
Right. So the next topical lore episode, we will be going back to Rex. I'm still streaming on the weekends, on the N7 The Legend Twitch account, and you should go follow me on Blue Sky, by the way. I'm trying to launch my profile there.
Yeah.
Really done using X. So yeah, go follow me on Blue Sky. It's pretty nice. I like Blue Sky because you can have different feeds. Yes. On different topics,
right.
And you can create your own feeds from different users. So it's almost like having like Reddit's subreddit, you know, with the different feeds that you can scroll through that way.
Yeah, and links aren't getting throttled, which means if you post links, people actually see them. And if other people post links, you can actually see them and click through them. News sources are not getting throttled. So anybody who posts a news source, you can actually see it, which is really nice. And the community there just is, they're just so much more pleasant to be around. There's a lot less just bad faith arguments and just bickering.
Yeah.
It's just,
I don't feel bad when I open the app.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know people are trying to like poo poo on it and be like, oh, all those liberals going over there are idiots. And it's just like, okay. And you know what it reminds me of is when you were in school and you were like in one class and you had a bunch of kids in your class who were all acting up all the time. And it was just annoying to be in the class. And then you went to another class and like everyone's just getting along and paying attention and just like cooperating and doing their schoolwork. And you're just like, so much nicer. People are just doing what they're supposed to do. Like,
or leaving a toxic workplace and then finding a new job.
Right. Yeah, that's what it is. It's a lot of what that feels like. So yeah, go check out Sam on there and I'm on there as well. And then we've got big news. Things are changing. It's hard for me to say, but it's time for me to move on. There are some other things that I'm going to be focusing on this coming year. I've had a blast doing the show with Sam and the community, and this might be a big surprise to everybody, but It's time. There's other stuff going on, and I won't get into all the details, but I am absolutely going to miss doing this every week. I'm going to miss hanging out with our patrons and the live chat and getting to hang out with Sam every week, talking about Mass Effect. I have learned so much more about Mass Effect from you, Sam, than I ever would have on my own. I really appreciate that, and it has been a really fun discussion and just getting to know more. And do know I will be listening. I'm not going to leave the community totally. You know, I'll be tuning in for new future episodes. I got to get my Mass Effect fix and all that stuff. So, it's time to change some stuff up for me. I've got some personal stuff I need to take care of. So that's the plan.
Well, and Tom, you know, of course I support you in that. I think our entire community will. 183 episodes ago, I had no idea how to be a co-host on a podcast. There was a little bit of awkward silences, some talking over each other, but while I may have taught you about Mass Effect lore, you taught me about podcasting. So and that's invaluable. That's something that I'm just going to keep with me forever. So it's really hard to see you go. I'm going to miss our talks, whether it's talking about slamming ass or talking about Binary Helix.
Hey, and anytime, corporations. Anytime you want to talk about slamming ass, my DMs are open.
It's tough. It's tough. But I am looking forward to a new chapter for you, especially because I think it's going to be good for you. And I'm not quite sure what the future of the Lorecast holds right now, but I do know that I'm here. And I'm going to be here.
Yeah, no, so I'm excited because I think that there's a lot of extra content that we haven't even touched the surface on yet. There's a lot of these other characters. Yeah. There's so much more for you to cover. And whatever you decide to do with it, I know you're going to make some good choices. You're going to have some wonderful topics and guests and all sorts of fun things in the future. So I look forward to all of that. And I wish this show and this community the best. And again, don't feel like I'm abandoning everybody. I'm still going to be around. I'm still on the Discord. I'll still pop into conversations on occasion. Who knows? I might just pop into your live streams I pop into your game streams now, but I'll pop into like, you know, some of the show episodes and kind of, you know, post a funny comment from 100 episodes ago and try to crack you up or whatever, you know. So it's a good thing, and it's just time for me to kind of take on some other things. So
yeah, well, I mean, we started the show in 2021, in March 2021, and so we're basically going to be going through till 2025.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
That's when the new chapter of the Lorecast starts.
Yeah, that's crazy stuff. So, yep, and I'll definitely be tuning in if we get more news about, like, a TV show, which has been buzzing, and then the next game that comes out, all of that stuff.
Oh, that'll be amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, can't wait for that stuff. But thank you, everybody, for your support through the last few years. And please do not just... I know you're here mostly for Sam anyway. I'm kind of the person who helps facilitate the conversation. But, like, definitely stick around. Keep supporting the show. And I can foresee it in the future. There will be a time where the TV show drops or the next game actually comes out, and this show is going to explode with new people finding it because they'll be finding Mass Effect for the first time. It's the same thing that happened with the Fallout TV show. People are like, what? This universe is freaking awesome. These stories are really cool. And then they're going to look up the show because they're going to be like, I need to know more about those Turians. They seem cool. And then they're going to find the show. And so there's definitely a wonderful future in store for this show. So keep it up.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Tom. I'm going to try my best to not disappoint people. And I will just continue being a guy who loves a sci-fi series so much that it becomes inappropriate to dump all of the lore information on any random coworker who asks me about my podcast.
Right. This is a much healthier outlet for all of that.
Yeah. So I will continue to be that guy. And I'll be around here for the community as well. If anyone, you know, has any future ideas for topics, continue to, you know, send them to the same Gmail. We're still going to keep all of our avenues for contacting us.
Yeah, everything's
exactly the same way.
Yep. All right. Well, I think that's it. I don't have anything else to say, but, you know, I'll be tuning in again in the future. And I hope all of you are having a wonderful holiday, and we'll be tuning in again when the patron chat comes back and the holiday episode and all that stuff.
You know what this feels like? It feels like Anderson handing the keys of the Normandy off to Shepard. Oh. And I'm like, man, this isn't my ship. But, you know, that's what it feels like.
You got
it. I'll have some Shepard-esque speech that he gives through Joker's comms for you all in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I would end this with I must go, but that's Shepard's line, not Anderson's line. So,
yeah.
But all right. Well, thanks everybody for tuning in. Well, that's just, I guess, how we're going to end it. But Sam will be back, and we'll see you next week, and I'll see you around on the internet. All right, everybody. See you later.
Thanks for tuning in to the Mass Effect Lorecast. We'd love to hear your opinion and thoughts on the lore of Mass Effect. Reach out to us on Twitter at Mass Effect Cast, or check out the Robots Radio Discord. Also, you can send us an email at masseffectlorecast@gmail.com.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.